This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned on the show where you can find help and hope. And we have on the boards today, Ed. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing all right, boy. You got a full house in there. You went from last week being all lonely.
Oh, my God. Last week, I felt like it was a COVID show.
Couldn't buy a friend in there, you know?
No, I couldn't. But we have a full house today. Oh, and look who's here.
Oh, boy.
Here she is, my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Last week, she didn't show up, but last week I expected to be in all kind of, you know,
Christmas regalia.
Lights going and stuff.
I did
like
it
that.
At home.
So here she is. Yeah, Ed misses that. So you look lovely. I've never seen those glasses on you.
Oh, you gave them to me.
I did?
For my 70th birthday. Remember all the crazy glasses?
Oh, yeah,
And champagne glasses, Lindy.
It's very pretty.
I know.
It's very pretty. Can you see?
You look better.
Oh, as long as I look better.
No wrinkles.
Oh, no wrinkles. I'm telling you, when she had her cataract surgery, damn. We were driving in the car, and she's like, "Do you know you have a hair there?" I said, "Don't look at me. It's not right. It's not fair."
And I did to my sister, too. I said, "Your fridge is dirty on that."
Was she picking needles out of haystacks?
Yeah. Whatever. Well, first I want to do is I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Caller in Tampa. We have Gail in Largo. And we have Vivian in St. Pete.
Welcome.
And like we always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to us when we're live on the radio or on YouTube, Facebook, or my website, or wherever the heck they'll take us. We're just here to help you out because we know caregiving is not easy. It's not an easy journey, but we're here to give you some education and some resources and a shoulder and a laugh as much as we can, because there are some pretty funny things that caregivers do also. But right now, I'm pleased to say we have two special guests on the show today. My friend Christine Hamacher from Sages. We've been friends for many years. We've worked together in the same company and in different companies together, and I'm so glad that you're here today.
Well, it's really nice to see you. It's been too long.
Yes. And Dr. John Yui, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
And you're a chiropractic physician in Tarpon.
Beautiful downtown Tarpon Springs, Tarpon Total Healthcare.
That's fabulous. I'm so glad that you're here today, too.
Nice to be here.
So one of the biggest things, my biggest concerns all the time for my caregivers and their loved one is over-medication and the fall. Because we know that the fall can be the end, or close to it. And I see it time and time and time again with my caregivers and their loved ones. And there are different things you can do for fall prevention, but the most important thing you need to do is to take care of yourself. So let's talk about it a little bit, Christine, because you work a lot with falls, with Sages Theater, with Denying Gravity. So
yes,
introduce yourself and give us the deal.
Well, yes. So I am proud to be the executive director and artistic director for Sages Theater, which stands for Senior Actors Guild in Education Services. And our signature play that we started out with was all about fall prevention. You and I were on that same train, doing a lot of work in the community, letting people know. And so Denying Gravity was born in 2018. And since then, we have developed three more plays with purpose on these topics that help seniors. But we do it with seniors on stage in the lead roles. They have a lot of fun, and our audiences can truly relate to what they see. And so, yes, fall prevention is huge, and I wanted to reach out to you because, you know, as you know, I am an open book. And falls are not reserved for those who are over 65.
No.
You know, we've been trying to balance since we got on our 2 feet in the first place.
Exactly.
Right? So what occurred to me, I don't know what month it was recently, when I was at Dr. Huey's office, and it was that every time I go on vacation, I fall. And I thought, you know what? And then every time I come back, I go to Dr. Huey, and he sets me straight, literally. And so I thought it was really important to talk about that.
Yeah, it is really. You know, recently I went on a trip to Portugal with my sister and a couple of my cousins. Well, you know, it's all rocky there, and I was so aware of how I was walking and where I was walking, because and in our group alone, four people fell. And one really gashed her leg open. She had to go in an ambulance and everything. But I think it can be avoided.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had a rockiness, which kind of makes sense, you know. I'm just talking about broken sidewalks. Like, yeah. I'm going around and I'm looking at everything and I'm talking either on the phone or to my husband at the same
time.
What
a surprise.
Yeah, and, and, you know, you're trying to do too much at once and not familiar with the terrain. So I'm not expecting a sidewalk to have a broken level to it. And next thing you know, I'm down on my knee. Also, my fall this year, my latest fall this year, was talking on the phone, carrying things, and trying to catch my cat. So, you know.
Oh, Christine.
I know. As a caregiver, I do know better, and I realized I need to remind everyone out there like me that we have to slow down.
Yep.
And the multitasking gene needs to be put on the back shelf for a little bit. Yeah, yeah. We have to be a little more careful and take care of ourselves, because I have been very fortunate. You know, I get a skin knee or something's out of whack, and luckily
I can get better.
I believe in
but you haven't broken
care.
A hip,
but you're young.
Well,
or broken a shoulder,
I'm 55. I'm over the half century mark. You know, we all have to start thinking a little differently at that point.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very important that we take care of ourselves, because a little tumble, no matter what it is, if you don't find out why it happened, whether you hit the floor completely or you don't,
right.
You just lose your balance. If you don't figure out why it happened and do something about it, it's going to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes, because I go to my chiropractor regularly, and sometimes I go in there, most of the times I feel just fine, but every now and then I'm like, I got a little twinge down here, or my neck's a little bit here, or whatever. But sometimes I just lay on that bench, he goes, you know, you're a little cockeyed. You know, but because I go regularly, you know that. Otherwise, if you don't go, you don't know. And then you're walking cockeyed.
Right.
Yes?
And that's all without a fall. I mentioned before the show that, you know, with caregivers, they oftentimes will ignore their own problems even without a fall, and they let them kind of fester, and then they have problems, and if there's a fall on top of that, you know, they're the last ones to take care of themselves.
Yeah, but they don't go to the doctor. They take their loved ones to the doctor.
And as I said before, you know, if something happens to the caregiver, then the wheels come off the train, then everything collapses. So it's very important that they maintain their own health. And to that end, we have a whole different program we do with balance and leg strengthening and upper body strengthening, so that if they do take a spill, they can, or a potential fall, they can get themselves up before they hit the ground and maintain their balance. We do cross crawl exercise that we get patients on a regular basis.
Oh, really?
And they work well. There was a study done years ago on Tai Chi. They did Tai Chi in a senior center, and the falls went down considerably, because, as you know, 1/3 of anybody who breaks a hip, that's going to be a fatal injury.
Yep.
And if you can prevent that, and that was shown to do wonderful changes in the results in the preventing falls, and those problems never occurred. So the best type of injury is one that never occurs.
Yeah.
And that seems to be, you know, I talk a good game, but my patients still don't listen to me.
No, they don't. I get
they
it.
Still, they okay. still fall.
Still fall. But I will tell you one thing that he taught me. I stopped sitting ladylike. He said, don't sit with your legs crossed. Because for me, for my body.
Yeah, I have an issue. I sit like this. Look at this, doc.
I know. Look at that. He loves that, I'm sure.
It's a total loop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do listen. But the truth is, we don't always remember to do everything.
Oh, yeah, it's just habits.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. We don't always remember to do everything. But what I have learned, certainly from going to Dr. Huey, is that the alignment of your spine is important. And you can't ignore it.
For so much stuff.
Yeah, literally, if you're going to knock something over and it could break, if your body goes down, not just breaking, something could just get out of whack.
Right.
And why live with that pain? You know, because then you're going to be walking different. Now you're going to hold your muscles differently. All these different things. And so I firmly believe, no matter what it is, you find out, you know, first why you fell and change that, and then you double check.
And number one, let's get strong so we don't fall. Because how many people have fallen or just afraid to fall so they don't get out of the chair anymore?
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid. Or they're walking around their house holding the furniture.
Yeah. Simple things like, you know, taking the carpets, throw rugs out of the house. Those are, you know, my wife, she does home health, she's a registered nurse, And she's always asking about that type of thing in the house. Do they have any loose carpets? Because you remove those, that takes a major, major hurdle out of the way for preventing falls. And then you find out what else around the house can be a potential hazard. I'm sure you've done that with the with your
Thank God for Bluetooth.
Yeah,
because that's got rid of all those extension wires.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Cell phones got rid of all those those telephone wires. You know those telephone wires they used to pull three rooms away.
Yeah,
remember?
Find the walls.
But how dangerous!
They'd also end up wrapped around your legs.
Yeah, because there was only one phone in the house. Yeah. You know, but really.
And as we get older, our eyes aren't quite as good, even if we're not looking through yellow glasses. Ability to see these things on the floor, but you know, keeping the floor nice and clean is an important thing. Make clear of, you know, the throw rugs and the carpets, and then pets. You'd be surprised how many patients I've treated over the years whose cats have gotten in their ankles and they've fallen, breaking broken bones because of a fall.
I've heard of them falling trying to feed them.
Yeah,
and
lose their balance and fall.
I have a puppy now that's 14 months old, and when I go to take him outside. I have this little box by my front door, and he knows to hop on the box because then I can hook him without having to bend all the way over.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as a fugitive from the law of gravity. It's always out to get
you. Oh, I like that.
And anytime you're in a position where you can fall, chances are it's going to get you. So I will say that, you know, dogs would get laid down their lives for you. Cats are always planning your demise.
I got a dog and two cats. Unfortunately, they are not what trips me. But I will say... you know, one of the things that I wish that people would remember is we're always so reactive. Something happens, we break it, we hurt, then we do something about it. But if we're preventative in our health and in other areas where we're trying to stay balanced, then we don't have that injury to begin with.
Exactly.
So, you know, I do believe that that's something Denying Gravity helps show everybody. You know, they don't want to be Claire. They want to do something different. So we will be doing that play every year, and it'll come around again next September.
Yeah, and what I love about that play, because you go there, and you're there with your friend, and your friend's looking at you, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's different when you're with somebody, and it's different when you can have a couple laughs over it.
Yeah. Right.
But I know every time I've gone to see it, I know everybody else that they always come walking out with, I need to change something.
Yeah.
I need to take care of something, or I need to talk to.
They got to keep moving, because one of the most important things for healthy aging, longevity, and safety is leg strength.
Yeah.
Something as simple as leg strength. And you look at these blue zones all over the world, the Okinawan women. There's that one video of there are five or six women all over 100 years of age, and there's no furniture in their house. So they sit like crisscross applesauce, and when they stand up, they just stand up.
Yeah.
And they're over 100 years old.
Wow.
I'd be hard pressed to do that myself.
Yeah.
Then they have the guys, the shepherds in Sardinia, the people out west that are walking all day. So it all has to do with leg strength.
Yeah.
And there's an old Chinese saying, it says, you know, lose your butt, lose your health. So if those muscles go away, that's a good sign that you're not going to have that leg strength, and you're going to have problems. So if people are sitting for too long, they will rapidly lose the strength in their legs, and that's a very bad thing.
Well, you know, so. I go to Curves 3 mornings a week, you know, the old ladies gym. And this one woman that comes here that's like 90 years old, and she doesn't exercise a lot, but she's moving, and she's there, and she's social.
Yeah.
And I think that's a whole part of the thing, too. You know, so if I do my Curves 3 days a week, I do my chiropractor, and I put in my 7,000 steps, I think I'm pretty good.
On the drive down here, I was on my phone with my dad up in Canada. He's 92.
God bless.
And that was up in Canada, lousy weather, and it was raining, not too much snow, which is nice. But I had him on his stationary bike. He does it twice a day now. And, you know, it doesn't like to do it, but I'm on him to make sure it gets that done, because I always tell him, as long as you're moving, it's good. And he can, you know, do some resistance on that stationary bike. And, yeah, not bad for 92. He's mentally sharp, and physically he wants to keep up with his mind. So that's
important. I think being physically sharp also helps you with your mental sharpness also.
Yeah. So the things we can do on a regular basis, and that's completely separate from nutrition, that's a whole different topic as well, which I deal with my patients on an ongoing basis. But you know, keeping moving is paramount. And if you can, you know, walk to, you know, park further than the close to the front door, just walk a little bit further, do a couple of rounds in the grocery store before you do your shopping.
Yeah.
If you need the cart to help you walk around, that's fine too. But get some laps in, so to speak, before you fill it up and then go get home.
Well, it's interesting. A couple of months ago, my granddaughter and her husband said to me, you know, Grandma, when you get older, you can't stay living here. And I said, excuse me? Well, I have an upstairs and a downstairs. She goes, you have an upstairs and a downstairs. I said, that upstairs and downstairs keeps me alive. That's why I bought a place with an upstairs and downstairs. Yeah. I said, if I have to bring three things downstairs, I only bring down one at a time, because it makes me move. I said, and if the time comes ever that I can't do that, you're going to get me one of those scooter chairs that goes right up the stairs. Thank you very much for thinking of me. But they are thinking of me.
Yeah.
Now
we all see what happens with the fall.
Yeah.
We all see what happens when we stop getting out of the chair.
Well, and the other thing that you make me think of when you're saying this is it's not just when you're moving. Well, okay, when you're moving, you need to pay attention to what kind of shoes you have on, what kind of support
exactly.
you have, arch support and all that. But when you're sitting or you're laying down for all those hours that you sleep, you have to have the right support for that too. So, I've listened to that, just got a new mattress. He said today, hey, it looks like it's working a little better. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate that because he had inspired me to get a straight back chair to sit in to read, which I've never done. Like, we all have these comfy things we just sink into, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of stuff makes a big difference because we do spend some time sitting and lying down too.
You know, my stepmother's just turned 88 years old and she always sits like this.
Yeah. Mm. In a
straight
chair.
She always sits in a hardback chair no matter what. And she always sits with perfect posture and she just had a hip replacement.
Wow.
And she's just doing absolutely fabulous.
Well,
absolutely
makes
fabulous.
A difference. And I always tell patients, even if you're sitting in a proper orientation, nice chair, every 15 minutes, get your butt out of the chair, even if it's just for a minute.
Yeah.
That'll break up that posture.
Yeah.
Because there's a study, I think it was in the magazine Pain, in Journal Pain years ago, that looked at people that sat for 6 hours, unbroken sitting, continuous 6 hours. Even if they exercised before or after, they had a 14-year decrease in life expectancy, almost as bad as smoking.
Wow.
So you'll see articles that say sitting is the new smoking. I always call it the posture of death. And the nice thing is, you can have, for your younger audience, have a standing workstation.
Yeah.
You're more efficient
yeah.
working. And,
oh, is it been 15 minutes? I think we should stand.
Yeah. In 15 minutes.
But, yeah, I've been looking into one. I was thinking of getting one of those for myself. And you don't have to do it all the time.
Yeah.
But if 50% of the time I'm on the computer, I'm standing, it's better.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what's the worst thing they came out with, though, is I needed a new, like a lazy boy chair with the feet to come up because I like my feet up. You pull it up and it flips out, but it doesn't go down. You have to kick it in.
Oh, yeah.
I have nearly fallen to get that bottom of the chair, and they don't have levers anymore.
Really?
It's crazy.
A lot of them have the electronics now
yeah.
to do those, but when it comes to the lazy boys, I tell patients, you can go all the way back. If you're laying back 150 degrees, where's your camera? 150 degrees, that's
yeah.
good, but if you're sitting with your back straight and the legs up, it's a horrible posture. Because your low back will flex, your SI joints will separate, and those are the patients that have chronic SI pain, the sacroiliac joints on both sides, they don't understand why it's sore, and once we discover that they're sitting in their recliner with their legs up, you know, most of the day, that's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
They just stop that and it goes away.
And they don't realize that because they think I'm sitting with my legs up and that's a good thing.
I spent $2,000 for this chair. It's comfortable. It can't be the chair.
Right, and it's good to keep. And it's always good to keep my legs up.
Yeah,
I paid
yeah.
$300 for mine, so that's why it's a piece of crap.
You're all the way back. That's okay, but you can't.
Doesn't
you can't
go all the way
up.
Back, and you can't get the bottom.
Okay, you may want to rethink that chair.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's time for a new one.
Yeah.
No, but it is. I think you have to think of from the time you wake up in the morning what you do all day
yeah.
and what is changeable, what needs to be changeable,
yeah.
Because we can get into the habits that are much healthier.
And when you're dealing with someone else in the caregiver situation, your own biomechanics are extremely important. And I tell patients a couple of rules. You want to stay nose and toes same direction. If that means no twisting, I tell patients, don't twist for your purse, don't twist for your sunglasses, always face your target. And if you're doing some weight lifting, which is what caregiving is, then you have to maintain your nose and toes same direction and then take a staggered stance as opposed to both feet together. And then patients will say, well, I bent my knees. Well, it doesn't matter much if your back is flexing. The goal is to keep that lumbar
yeah.
curve, that lordosis, in there at all the time. And the best way to do that is with a staggered stance. Because if your stance is staggered, then you maintain that lordosis, you maintain that curve, and your legs are a lot more powerful. I mean, this muscle, your buttock muscle is way more powerful than your back muscles. So you want to use those and not rely on your semi-used
yeah.
back muscles to do all the work. That's that takes a while to get used to. My construction guys, they're younger, you know, eventually they figure it out after their third or fourth back injury. You know, they'll listen to me. But certainly in a caregiving situation, the same thing applies. That is heavy lifting oftentimes. And
yeah.
if you can avoid that by, well, not the lifting so much, but avoid poor posture while you're lifting, that takes care of a lot of potential for injury.
But sometimes just the lifting, like when we're talking about chairs, they have the chairs now that can almost put you in a standing position.
Mm-hmm.
I tell caregivers, invest in that because it's going to make it easier for yourself. Yeah. It'll be more comfortable for your loved one, but it's going to make it easier for you.
And then also, if they can get a Hoyer lift, that's something that their primary care doc will prescribe for them. That helps a great deal.
And learning how to properly use the equipment that they have.
Yeah.
The walker, the wheelchair, how to properly get the person in and out. What's the best? You know, there's a walker called the football walker, and it has a football on the front. Mm-hmm. So when my loved one is trying to get out of the chair, instead of dragging me down or dragging them up, I'm holding that down with my feet, and they can get up a whole lot easier. It makes so much difference.
Yeah, to protect you, because something, like I say, something happens to you, then everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
And one of the things, too, when people fall, that's often, especially with nurses, they always want to get the patients off the ground right away. But if someone falls at home, they've hit the ground, they're not going to fall any further. You got time. They don't
assess it.
They're not going to dig a hole in the floor.
You have to stop. I was just going to say I had a question when you used
that. Okay. And so I just tell them, you know, get a chair, get someone else to help to make sure that lift doesn't injure you so you're both on the floor.
Yeah.
Then
we're really in a pickle.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Ed?
Well, I was going to ask, why is it one of the worst back injuries I've ever had to get me off my feet for a couple of days? He simply bent over to pick up a piece of paper.
Well, that's the straw that breaks the proverbial camel's back. I mean, that issue is festering for a while. And oftentimes, you know, guys in their late 40s, early 50s will herniate a disc by trying to pull on their socks. So that injury was developing, and that was just a little nudge that put it over the edge.
So late 40s and 50s, I'll go with that.
Yeah, me too, Ed. I'm with you.
That's when it starts. Now in our 60s.
So you want to go to the doctor and say, I'm 40 or 50, and that's why I hurt my back. You know? Thanks. It made me feel bad. It made my week.
Yeah, so it's not just that piece of paper you're going to grab right then. It's the issues you had before.
Yeah, it's like somebody says, I sneeze and I pull my back out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, I don't know if you have time, but for neck. So I want
to get Let's come right back to that, because right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
My mom was getting older, but she was able to live pretty independently until recently. When her case manager told me she would be discharged from rehab in just a few days, I didn't know what to do, but I knew for sure that she couldn't go back living alone at home. So that's when I contacted Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. My Senior Living Concierge, Lisa, was there for me through the whole process and was a free service for us to compare in-home care options and how that cost would compare to assisted living. With Lisa's help, we found a great new home for Mom, and she is thriving. Take it from me, don't go through this journey alone.
Hi, I'm Ellie Baldwin, co-founder and president of Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. We're a free placement and concierge service for families to help compare senior living communities and find the best place for you or a loved one. Call us today at 727-314-6451 or find us online at sunwaysseniorliving.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back, talking a little bit more about taking care of yourself, about chiropractic, about fall prevention, because we're really concerned about that. And Christine, what were you saying before we went to break about the neck?
Well, I just wanted to mention, you know, another thing that we have to deal with nowadays is the fact that we're on our phones so much, you know, and we're looking down and our neck is bending down, or we're sitting for long periods of time, driving, all these different things. And that's what my chiropractor, you know, this guy here, has pointed out to me. And so he gave me neck stretches. And I swear, I don't get out of bed in the morning without doing them, because it helps even from sleeping overnight and the pillow you know, position that you're in and everything. And I realize now I can pinpoint and feel the muscle that's tight and stretch it, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it really does. I get that, those issues of mine, and my chiropractor taught me the same thing, because I'd be walking around like this all day. Oh, it hurts, and I couldn't, and now I know if I stretch it enough, it'll stop hurting.
And the good news is that we never grew up with our chins on our chest. No. All these kids are literally chin on their chest. The Australians that published a paper a few months ago talking about a skull horn, which is a suboccipital spur, which we'd seen in, you know, someone my age, maybe his age, which little bump on the back of the skull, which you develop over the decades. They have young adults in their late teens, early 30s, that have a 1 to 3 centimeter spike, a shard, basically coming off the skull, never seen before in human anatomy. So the kids are evolving their spinal
their
anatomy,
physiology,
changing because of their chin on the chest, the tech neck, they say. So I tell patients, you got to keep your chin off your chest. That's one of the worst things you can do. Keeping your head in that forward flex posture adds about 60 pounds extra head weight on your neck. It's going to hasten arthritis, make the disc decay more rapidly. It's just horrible for neck health, for spinal health.
Yeah.
And, you know, so in my office, as she'll comment on, every time I see someone with their chin down, I just gently take their hand and their phone and I put it like this.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. It's just a habit.
Yeah. I used to take my hand like this and go, but that's a little bit too much.
Yeah. That's what my hairdresser used to do. If we crossed our legs, we would get a slug.
But, you know, when I sit on my computer, so I sit in pretty much a chair like this and everything, and I'm very cognizant of being up straight.
Yeah.
Because I do enough on the cell phone stuff.
And when you have that, a real simple thing is, and Peyton, no one has done this in all my years of practice, I say, take a bolster or a big pillow, put it over your lap, and put your elbows here. And they say, oh, that's comfortable. And I say, yes. And no one does that. The other thing you do with your computer is just make sure that when you set the monitor
a little bit higher.
Yeah,
right.
So your icons are a little bit above eye level. So when you have the mouse and you're looking, you back an extension as opposed to doing this.
Yeah.
And for kids, I'll tell parents, for the kids that have the laptops, when they're working at home, buy them a $50 monitor, have them plug it in there, get them a keyboard, and use the laptop as a CPU and the monitor as a monitor.
As the monitor.
Because you can't, you know, kids are... in their beds next to on the headboard with their bodies all scrunched up, and that's a horrible posture to develop. And as you bend the spine, it will remain that way. So it definitely has to be changed. And keeping your chin off your chest, keeping your eyes high, what I call airport posture. If you're looking for me across the airport, you're not going to be walking like this. You're going to be actually on your tippy toes. And for patients whose balance is okay, they can try going on the tippy toes, hang onto a wall, and see where their head goes when they're actually on their tippy toes. Because you can't stand with that severe forward head posture on your tippy toes. You'll fall over. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to get used to that posture. So when you're standing up and then sitting down, again like this as opposed to...
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm tall. So, like, I was the tallest girl in the school. Mm-hmm. I was taller than the boys, you know, but not... You know, like that at that age or whatever. And there was one girl that was as tall as me, but she always used to walk over. And my dad used to always say to me, stand tall, stand tall, stand tall, stand tall. And I'm so glad that I have. And just recently, the other day, I was at, last week, I was picking up my grandson from school, and I'm looking at the kids coming out of school.
Yeah.
They look like a mess.
Yeah.
They're not standing out there with those huge backpacks on.
They're little C's. And that's going to be a problem. It's going to age them prematurely, and I tell my kids that. I have four kids, and they're older now, 21 to 30. And, you know, they grew up differently. When they had aches or pains, they didn't reach for Tylenol or Motrin. They asked for an adjustment. So
they're
a little bit different than most kids. But
I know that you can be adjusted from as my chiropractor says, they deal with clients from the womb to the tomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because people don't think about taking a baby in for an adjustment or anything, which is very important sometimes. Yeah.
On that note, I tell patients we check out kids from birth to the first year, which are, you know, six times, because there are six major milestones. When they're born, because if you live your life properly, going through the birth canal should be the toughest thing you go through. When they lift their heads up, when they sit up, crawl, stand, and walk. So those are all the different milestones. Because your neck curve and your lumbar curve, you're not born with those lordotic curves. They develop, and they can develop either properly or improperly. And if you give little kids that are 2 years old an iPad, and they're starting again like this inside the waiting room, they're forbidden in my office. I tell parents right away, I said, you can't do that. That's one of the worst things you do for your kid. You know,
you give them a little shopping cart to walk around with. That's much better. Have them walking and doing. And
I say, give them knives, give them matches. Anything is better than a...
No, it is. You see kids in their strollers. You see kids at the airport. You see kids, little tiny
kids.
With
a chin down like that.
With a cell phone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. I'll say, you love your kid? Yeah. Why do you not there? Oh, that works really well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a babysitter either.
guilt is a good motivator. But to make, all kidding aside, it makes a big difference. So those kids are not going to do well if they already start with their chin on their chest. But we check them out the first year. That's usually six times. And if those curves develop properly, then they're ahead of the game. If they don't, then
we can
a problem.
Take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah, we can take
then
care
we can
of
do
it.
Something
and then there are falls and spills with the young spines usually we check out kids when they're playing sports on a regular basis or contact sports, but...
I hate it. I hate the sports.
Yeah, most kids will...
My grandson's on crutches right now. Yeah.
What'd he break?
Pulled a ACL.
ACL?
Yeah.
Okay. What sports? Baseball?
No, soccer.
Soccer, okay.
Well, first he heard it in soccer, and then he went to school and heard it in gym. Okay. Now he's got a brace on his leg and crutches.
How old?
11.
Okay, that'll heal.
Yeah.
As long as it's not torn, it'd be tough to tear it completely at that age, hopefully. So, but soccer is a tough one. All these sports. Yeah, my youngest and oldest played soccer. The two in the middle played volleyball, and there are always potential injuries. So it's not
in
just
any sport.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're bowling, you can.
And if you're not sure, you know, talk to your chiropractor and say, okay, what type of frequency should I be checking my kid out? Do it proactively as opposed to waiting until, you know, junior is complaining of headaches constantly.
Right.
Or, you know, is limping because of low back pain. So the things you can do proactively to mitigate a lot of the problems that kids are going to develop, just like with older adults taking care of their senior parents, you can mitigate a lot of the potential problems by, you know, analyzing, as I said, by analyzing where they're living, the living space, what the requirements are, and trying to avoid things. But it's a lot easier to treat things, you know, that are...
When you're prepared.
Yeah. And not
which is with everything in life.
The big problems.
So I just wanted to read a couple of these fall prevention tips to remind our listeners, because I think they're so important, and exercise regularly, and we're going to talk about that in a little while more, because I want you to tell me what they should do when they first wake up in the morning, etc. Medications. Please just monitor how many medications you're on. Make sure your doctors are talking to each other. Go to your pharmacist and ask him what he thinks, because if you're taking like more than 10 medications, I bet you could get rid of 5. So please think about that. Take your time. You're a senior. There's no reason to rush.
Or not even a senior yet.
Right.
And
there is no reason to rush. Most of the times there is no reason to rush. And it took me a long time to learn that.
Yeah.
To just
you
slow
learned
down.
That?
I'm slower than I used to. No. Keep stairs and walking areas clear. You know, people have that habit of putting the stuff on the stairs because it has to go up the stairs. And then they don't think about it later, and they're coming down or they're going up, and they trip over it. And I have those lights as you step up the stairs.
Mm-hmm, that's
at nighttime, you step up the step, and the lights light
motion
up.
Detectors. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to fall on the stairs, and I also have those lights on my toilet bowl. So when you get like 5 feet away from the toilet, it lights up like a disco. But it doesn't wake you up.
Right.
And it lets me see clearly. I mean, those were two, and for those lights up the stairs, and the lights on two toilet bowls was like $25. So think about those easy kind of things. But look at your lighting everywhere in your home, inside and outside your home too, because I can't tell you how so many times somebody is falling, going out the front door, coming in the front door, going in the garage. That can be another place. Use non-slip mats in the bathtub and on the shower floors, please. Right now I'm saving my money to get my tub taken out so I can have a walk-in. I think that's really important because so many people fall in the bathroom and they don't even use the tubs.
Right.
They're just climbing into the tub. You do. You got an issue. But and I have a portable shower bench thing in my shower now. So I'm not as young as I used to be. It's easier for me to sit down and shave my legs now than it used to be. I could do it when I was standing up.
If you took a bath, you'd just sit there the whole time and shave your legs.
No, thank you. I feel like I'm in soup.
Sit in your own filth.
I feel like I'm in soup. Be aware of uneven surfaces, like Christine was saying, even when you're walking on a sidewalk or anything, or in your house.
Right.
Many times there's a lip to it in a room or something like that. And sometimes those lips can just be taken off and you know, so the floor is smooth, because just that little bit can make a big difference. And please wear proper shoes. Wear proper shoes. Even myself, it's the first year I couldn't get those slippers anymore, because they're dangerous for me.
Yeah.
I have to get a slipper that has a back to it.
Mm-hmm. I wear hospital socks with the treads.
Yeah, those are fabulous.
Yeah, the flip-flops are not good. Those should be, I mean, initially they were worn like from the, you drive to the beach, from the car to the beach and back, and now they wear them in church, they wear them everywhere.
I wear them everywhere. I have to have boots on today.
Oh, you do?
Well, because my toes were cold, but I always wear
No, she wears them all, she goes to Canada and wears flip-flops.
Yeah, those are not safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, for our caregivers, when you haven't seen your older loved ones for a while and you've seen them around the holidays and that sort of thing, too, is check where there's bruising, because maybe they didn't fall, but they keep banging into something.
Yeah.
And if they
just move it. Because they're not going to
tell you. No, well, and they might not even remember that it happened.
Right.
But if you can identify maybe how that bruise happened, then you can move that furniture item a few inches away from the threshold or the doorway or whatever it is. And that will then prevent a fall, because they won't hit it, hurt, and lose their balance.
Yeah. And you know, when we're talking about that, too, because a lot of people came home for the holidays, a lot of people are still coming home. Observe when you're there, please, and try to come back again and visit when they're not expecting you to come back and visit. Because when mom and dad know when you're coming to visit, oh, they'll spruce up the house, they'll have food in the refrigerator. Because when you call up mom, she's not going to tell you dad didn't poo in 3 days and she fell down and her whole leg is bruised. So go there unexpectedly. Spend a little bit more time, even if they know you're coming. Like I say, they can fake it pretty good for a couple of days. They can fake it for a couple of days. They can't fake it for a week. And the other important thing is talk to their neighbors, because the neighbors know everything that's going on, and they're going to tell you what's going on. You know, mom hit the curb when she pulled out of the driveway or whatever. I remember one of my caregivers went to speak to one of the neighbors, and the neighbor said, oh, we were so worried 2 weeks ago when the ambulance came and took her away, but mom didn't tell anybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
So be observant. You know, if you can't be there all the time to look out for your loved one, get to be friends with their neighbors, people from church, hire somebody to come over and check on them. Just do that. And I had a great story recently. One of my caregivers wanted to have somebody to come in like 2 hours a day just to spend some time with her mother and just to have some eyes on. And her mother didn't want it. No way. Well, we told Mama that this girl has to put in these hours to graduate from nursing school. So Mama, she didn't tell us she's paying the girl anything, you know. Mm. So you're going to be helping her by letting her come in and be an assistant to you. Whoo, it worked like a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Good.
So sometimes we just have to think about those different things and how we can handle something. Because many times for our loved ones, first of all, they feel they have no purpose. They feel like they're useless. Well, if they can be helping someone else, it can change their whole attitude about something. And it gives them a purpose, too. Because they don't want to be just, I know you think you're the bomb caregiver, and you're the only one that can do it the best way, but like I always say, your loved one is probably saying under their breath, could you go away for a while and have somebody else come to see me? You know, Lynn said when she went away when her husband was sick, she didn't even realize she was gritting her teeth till she got back, kind of thing. And what did he say to you?
You should go away more often. You're much nicer.
Because you know us as a caregiver. I'm doing it. I can do 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 it. And many times you're so stressed and you don't even realize you're so stressed. And the last thing that your mom or your dad or your husband, wife, whoever you're caring for, wants is to see you freaking out of your mind. Because I don't want to see my daughter in the last days, years of my life being freaked out all the time. I just want her to sit down and hang out with me.
Yeah, one of the benefits of You know, having someone else's perspective or someone else there is they develop a relationship with them too. And it is a gift on both sides. It's a blessing on both sides. And so pointing that out can be very helpful. And I also wanted to point out, you know, we do all this work as caregivers all the time. What we need to do is what we've adopted with SAGES is play with purpose too. So when you're doing something with your loved one and you're engaging them to give them a purpose, having them help fold towels right. or match socks or whatever it is, make it fun. Put some music on or just do something. And especially for those that have memory loss, you know, and cognitive issues, it can be very relaxing. And it can be a really wonderful time for you to spend together where you're not just anxious about the work that needs to get done or they're not anxious about not knowing what's coming next.
Yeah. And be creative. I always say if you're looking for the purpose thing, that's a big deal for me with my caregivers is finding purpose for their loved one. So this one caregiver, her mom used to work in a bank. So she gives a big jar of coins every day with all the rolls. And she puts on music like they used to play at the bank.
Mm.
And her mom sits there and she rolls the coins up all day long and she tells her mom at nighttime she's going to bring them to the bank. And her mom goes to bed and she empties them out. But it's worked. What are you laughing at? But it works. You know, another woman, her mother was a seamstress. So I give her a big jar with buttons in it and little boxes and ask her to sort the buttons. And sometimes she does it by size or color or shape. But every now and then she picks up that one button and she says, just like on your first communion dress. Mm. And then they sit down and have a conversation. So it makes them feel like they have some sort of purpose, and it gives you a little bit of a break because they're doing something else. You know, we had this one woman, and she said, oh, Linda, my mother follows me around the house all day long. If she would just sit down for 2 hours, please, please, please. So I went over to meet her mother, and her mother used to be a teacher. So first we talked about all the rotten kids today, and then we talked about how teachers don't get paid enough, and what we do every Monday morning is we give mom a big piece of poster board and a bunch of magazines, and we tell her the teachers are teaching the kids next week about flowers. So we need you to cut all the flowers out of this magazine and glue them on the poster board, and you can't have no white spots. And it takes her a week to do it, 2 hours a day. And then the daughter started bringing it to the school, and the kids started writing thank you notes.
That's good.
You know, and you could do flowers this week, and you could do flowers next week, and the week after. Right. Because to people with dementia, it doesn't even matter, so we don't have to get that creative. But it makes her feel good.
All excellent ideas, because the last you want to do is feel resentment towards the one you're taking care of. And I see that in my office. I see that. I can see it in their faces. And, you know, the conversation is, when is the last time you had a break? And, you know, you're right. They say, oh, you know, I can't do it. I don't trust anybody else. And I said, you know, I've been in my office many years, and I like to take care of all my patients. But occasionally when I have to go and they see Dr. Bogan, my associate, he does a really good job. You know, so you're not the only one that has to do everything all the time.
Yeah,
but that's a big deal because you don't want them to feel resentful. It's got to be.
And sometimes when maybe you just come over and to give your friend a break.
Yeah,
you're just going to sit with them for an hour or two, because you know what? Maybe they would like to see a different face too.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit. You don't have to go taking over the caregiver duties. You don't have to be bathing them or changing them or anything like that. Just go spend some time with them.
Yeah.
Spend some time with them, and maybe the caregiver doesn't even want to leave the house. Go to your bedroom. Go in the tub. Go do whatever you want. Sometimes we have to like kind of push it to the caregiver.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great resources. I'm sure you know about Seniors in Service.
They're on the show in 2 weeks.
Awesome.
So tell all listeners.
That's wonderful. So Seniors in Service is a great organization that helps seniors find the volunteer work that is going to be their purpose, that they love. And one of the things that they have, and I hope they'll talk about it, is befriending a senior and going and visiting them. Because, you know, our caregivers, a lot of times, our world starts to shrink, and we don't have the people around us to help, or they've got their own problems, and we can't bother them, or we want to help them, or whatever it is. So, honestly, let's go outside of our bubble and find a stranger. They're only going to be a stranger for a few minutes, right?
Exactly.
And then you have that resource, and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Some things do, some things don't, but look for the resources. So I'm really glad they're coming on. We're actually, SAGES is a site, a volunteer site for Seniors in Service.
No, I just
so
love that.
I love the program. And I love
the healthcare buddies, the phone calls. It's wonderful. And it's just a different thing. You know, years ago, and I was much younger.
But
years ago I was much younger. But I volunteered to this church. It wasn't my church. It was another church. And I went and I brought a meal once a week to this gentleman. And I would go there, and most of the time he didn't even care about the food. He just wanted somebody to be coming there and visiting him. And it was so interesting because every week he would pull something else out of his closet and it'd be like a Vote for Eisenhower poster on the wall or a wind-up Victrola. And every now and then when he was feeling really good, he would take me out to his garage and he had like a 1915 Model T Ford. My husband kept saying, be good to him, Linda, be good to him. But I did that for a long time and it made me feel good. It was very easy. I was feeding my family every night. You know, what's the big deal to bring over another thing? You know, I had to watch a little bit food restrictions, but I think I was the only person he saw every week. Yeah. And you don't know how, and people that get Meals on Wheels, sometimes it's the only, and the Meals on Wheels are just going to drop it off. I would go there and hang out for a while, you know, or whatever.
Exactly. You add a little play and a little purpose, right?
Yeah, I can say it's a huge impact on them, especially with their potential mental decline. The more interactions patients have with that, the longer they last.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Not just giving the calories, but the conversation.
Yeah. Well, now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
We believe the power of the human body and mind can do amazing things, and that tapping into that power, not just tricking it with a temporary disguise, is possible. Superpatch technology uses a special pattern and vibro-tactile technology to help you go from feeling blah to hurrah. Now, once the superpatch is in contact with your skin, it triggers a neutral response in the brainstem that helps you tackle your daily problems head-on. Whether you're struggling with pain, balance, stress, or focus, we have a solution that might be right for you. With Superpatch's 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Hi, this is Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. I started using the Liberty Patch over 3 years ago. I used to be a tripper, but since wearing a Liberty Patch, I haven't tripped once. The Liberty Patch is proven to reduce the risk of falling by up to 8 times. And as we all know, if you prevent the fall, you prevent the call. Don't wait until it's too late. Preventative solutions are the answer.
Superpatch does not claim to diagnose, treat, or cure illness. Superpatch is FDA registered. To receive 25% off your first order, go to sticktoit.info. That's sticktoit.info and learn more.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
And we're back. So, Doc, give us a little bit of advice what people can do for themselves or the caregivers, whoever they are, the first thing in the morning to start the day out good.
Well, stretching is key because that gets the blood flowing and the muscle stretching. So when you are doing your activities and lifting and moving,
but like you're when you get out of the bed, yourself. Like I drink a bottle of water right before I get out of the bed.
Okay.
And then get up slowly.
Even before we get out of bed, I have patients lay on their back and they pull one leg at a time up towards their chest for a minute.
Okay.
Then the other leg up for a minute. Then put them both back down, then pull up one towards the opposite shoulder for a minute, and the other one for a minute. So it's a 4-minute stretch every day. That's a forever stretch, I say. And that's before your bed, even before the water, maybe.
Okay.
And then when they get out of the bed, if they take a shower, they can do the stretch for the neck in the shower or afterwards. And we talk 7 positions, each one for 30 seconds, chin straight down to your chest. Then you kind of tip your head to the side, so your left eye is pointing towards your left foot. It'll stretch on the opposite side here. Then your right eye towards your right foot, stretch on the opposite side, and then go back. Tilt, tilt, turn, turn. And the key is each one for half a minute.
Okay.
And you go one Mississippi, you pick a long state. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, not a quick state. And that makes a big difference. So I have them do the stretches in the morning. The next stretch is also in the morning with a shower or with some heat. And later on in the afternoon, the next stretch is again. And then, like I said, just get up, get off the chair, move around, keep your chin off your chest, nose and toes when you're moving, and avoid, bending, lifting, and twisting at the same time.
Doc, where can our listeners find you?
I'm up in Tarpon Springs at 400 East Tarpon Avenue, in where the time and temperature sign is. That clinic's been there for 43 years now, and I've been there since 92.
And your phone number?
Is 727-934-0844, and they can look it up at online at tthc.tarpontotalhealthcare.net, tthc.net.
And I'll put all the information in the show.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you so much for being with us
it's
today.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been fabulous. So Sages, Christine, I'm calling Christine Sages.
That's okay, you
Tell
can
us
do
what's
that.
The latest stuff going on.
So I'm very excited. We have... this past year, we've had almost 100 volunteers active, and so we have some new programs coming out this year, and all of our shows, almost all of them are scheduled for the entire year, so very excited about that. But I want to say that anybody that gets involved with Sages, whether it's crew, backstage, on stage, networking, whatever they do as a volunteer, it gives them a purpose, too, because
yeah,
they know
they're
helping people. They're an advocate, and so we're really, really excited about that. We have auditions for those that are thinking they might want to take a stab at it, January 6th and 7th. They'll be in Palm Harbor, and you can find those on our website on the events page. We have everything listed. You'll also find our plays. So we start off with Phony Baloney in March. March 10th, it will be at the New Tampa Performing Arts Center.
That's exciting. You're really
exciting.
Getting out there, girl.
We are. And then we're going to be debuting, well, we'll have three or four shows of that. We'll debut our new play, Memory Lane, that has a character reminiscent of Miss Linda Burhans. And that will be in May. And we have all of those dates will be on our website on the events page. And the website's Sages Theater, SAGESTHEATER.org.
And I'll put that information in the show, too. Just coming up, Sean Scott has a couple of seminars coming up. January 2nd, Palm Harbor Library, 2 o'clock. Largo Library, January 5th, 2:30. And the Seminole Library, January 8th. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody, this week. I so appreciate you. Have a happy new year. Take your time. Stress. Think about some of the things that we talked about today. I really appreciate all of you. Remember, God loves you all the time. And have a delicious day. Mm-hmm.